Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, how realistic is this following scenario? You wake up on the morning of December 25th and you are surprised to find out that it's Christmas. Now, unless you have been literally living underneath a rock and have separated yourself completely from society, this is completely unrealistic. It's unrealistic because you go to the stores and you see the deals for Christmas shopping. You turn on the radio and you hear your favorite Christmas songs. You watch TV and there are the Christmas TV shows and movies. You drive around town, you see the Christmas lights. You open your mail and receive Christmas letters from your family and friends. Therefore, it's completely unrealistic that when December 25th comes around, you would be surprised because you have been prepared for Christmas. And now let's kind of imagine that in the realm of faith and salvation. Last week, we focused on preparing ourselves for Christ's coming. Not only his first coming when he was born in Bethlehem, but ultimately his second coming on the last day. We prepare ourselves by living a lives full of repentance and trusting in Christ. But now we shift the focus from ourselves and put it upon others. Just like John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord for God's people for Jesus' first coming, we also prepare the way of the Lord for others for Christ's second coming. The reason that we focus so highly on John the Baptist is because he is the fulfillment of these words. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. As we look at these words, I want us to focus on three main questions. The first question is this. When it comes to preparing the way for the Lord, why? And by that I mean, why did God use John the Baptist? Was it as if God needed John the Baptist? Well, the answer to that is no. God is God. He does not need anything from any one of us. So then why does he use John the Baptist? One reason why he uses John the Baptist is because God had prophesied that he would send someone to prepare the way for the Lord. We heard that from the prophet of Malachi this morning, who said, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come." But it still makes us wonder, why would God use a messenger to prepare the way for Jesus? Couldn't Jesus have simply appeared and started doing his ministry? Jesus could have. But think about this. For centuries, God's people had heard various prophecies about the promised Christ. They heard about how he would be born, how he would die, and what he would come to do. But by Jesus' day, these prophecies had become convoluted. And that wasn't God's fault. That was the fault of the religious leaders. When they heard that the Christ would be a king who would rule on David's throne for God's people, they thought that the Christ would physically rule on David's throne and overthrow the Romans. Also, for many centuries, since they've been hearing that the promised Christ would come, people may have been wondering, well, is he ever going to show up? And some might have been thinking, even if he does show up, how can we know that he is really the promised Christ? This is where John the Baptist comes in. This is why God uses John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist had a privilege of doing something that no other prophet in the Old Testament had. Every other prophet in the Old Testament could only point to the Christ who was going to come. John the Baptist was the one who could point to Jesus and say, "Here he is. Here is the promised Christ. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And not only did he point people to Jesus, he also corrected their false teaching. He instructed them that the Christ did not come to rule over his people physically, but to rule over his people spiritually in their hearts by faith. This is why God used John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord. And what John the Baptist did for the people in his day, we do as well. We prepare the way of the Lord for others. But when it comes to us, once again, we have to ask the question of why. Why would God use us? Because there are three reasons why God shouldn't. One reason why God shouldn't use us is, as we said earlier, God is God. He doesn't need anything from us. His kingdom will come even if we don't do anything. His word is all sufficient. People could read the Bible and be brought to faith even without us sharing Christ to them. A second reason why God doesn't need us is because of our shortcomings. We're all gifted in different ways. Some of us are better speakers than others. Some of us are more knowledgeable about Scripture than others. Some of us are just more gifted being people persons than others. But none of us is perfect in all of these ways. We have our shortcomings. Which brings us to the final reason why God shouldn't use us. It's because we're sinners. None of us should mutter a single word of God's glorious message from our sinful lips. That is something that only the angels should do. So then why does God use us? Purely by his grace, God calls us to prepare the way of the Lord for others. Although we are sinners and although we have our shortcomings, God uses and blesses us in our own ministries. That's what Paul rejoiced in, as we heard this morning. He rejoiced that the Philippians shared in the gospel, and he told them, "God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So even though God doesn't actually need us, rejoice that he calls you and he calls me to prepare the way of the Lord for others, just as he blessed the ministry of John the Baptist as he prepared the way of the Lord. Which now brings us to our second question. How exactly do we prepare the way of the Lord for others? We prepare the way of the Lord for others by proclaiming God's word. That's what John the Baptist did. And as he did that, Scripture describes it as he was bringing down high, lofty mountains low. He filled in the deep valleys. He made crooked roads become straight, and he made the rough waves smooth. Now, John the Baptist did not literally and physically do these things for Jesus, but he did them spiritually. Those who are proud and arrogant in their sins are like the high, lofty mountains. They see no need to look to Jesus as their Savior. But through the preaching of the law, John the Baptist humbled them so that they would bow down before Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Those who are in the pit of sorrow over sin are like the deep valleys. Because they're in that pit of sorrow, they have a hard time seeing God and His love. And they might be thinking that God has no desire to look down upon them. But through the preaching of the gospel, John the Baptist comforted them by reassuring them that they were in fact forgiven. Those who are veering off the straight and narrow path, whether because of false doctrine or because of the desire of sin, through the truth of God's word, John the Baptist brought them back to the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And those who have difficulties and struggles in life are like the rough waves. They have a hard time keeping their eyes focused on Jesus. But through the assuring word of Scripture, John the Baptist reminded them of God's love and how He would take care of them. Through the preaching of the word, John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord for others. And it's only through the preaching of the word that we too prepare the way of the Lord for others. But it's here that we can see our sinfulness, can't we? Not only can we see our sinfulness in the sense of those times when we fail to even speak God's word to others, but we also can see our sinfulness as we misapply God's word to certain people in certain situations. The proud and arrogant need to hear the law. They need to be cut to the heart so that they will turn to God in repentance. But instead of preaching the law to them, we may simply preach the gospel and tell them, well, God loves you. You're forgiven. Even though these people don't even desire to be forgiven by God. Those who are in the pit of sorrow over their sins, they need to hear the comforting message of the gospel that they are forgiven. And yet we can look at them and think, well, they need to suffer just a little bit more before I tell them they are forgiven. Or maybe we would say to them, well, if you lived a better life, you wouldn't sin as much, and therefore you wouldn't feel as guilty. To those who are veering off the straight and narrow path, either because of false doctrine or the pleasures of sin, they need to be told the truth of God's word. But instead, we may say to them, well, what you believe is okay for you. How you live your life, that's okay. Because in the end, I'm sure we'll all be in heaven one day. And those who have difficulty and struggles in life, that their lives are rough and hard, they need to be told the reassuring words of Scripture that God loves them. But maybe we say to them, well, it's because you committed this certain sin that God is punishing you. And maybe if you change your life, perhaps God will look favorably upon you and help you. This is not what these people need to hear in these situations. This is not preparing the way of the Lord for others so that they can clearly see Jesus. It's only distracting them from Jesus and can ultimately lead to either complete despair or complete condemnation. And none of us, absolutely none of us, are perfect in applying God's word in every situation to every single people. We just haven't done it perfectly. And therefore, God's proclamation to us should be, how can you do that to my people? How can you claim to be a Christian when you can't even apply my word correctly to others? And therefore, why should I ever forgive you? But that's the preaching of the law, which we do need to hear to bring us to repentance. But praise be to God that He also proclaims the gospel to us. The gospel tells us that we are saved from our sins. We are saved because of Jesus Christ, who perfectly applied God's word to various peoples in various situations. To those who were proud and arrogant, like the rich young ruler who thought he actually lived a perfect life, out of love, Jesus preached the law in order to humble this man and bring him to repentance. To those who are in the pit of sorrow over their sin, like the thief on the cross who is actually being put to death because of his crimes, that thief turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you will be with me in paradise." He comforted that man with the assurance that his sins were forgiven. To those veering off the straight and narrow path, whether it was the Pharisees with their false man-made doctrines, or like the woman at the well who was living in sin, Jesus shared the truth of God's word to bring them back to the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And those who had rough lives, they had their difficulties and struggles, like the countless number of people who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, help us and have mercy on us." Jesus helped them. He healed them and he proclaimed, "Go, your faith has saved you. You are forgiven because of Jesus." He reminded those people of his love and his grace, and you too are being reminded of God's love and his grace upon you. And may this love, may this grace, may this forgiveness continue to move you and me to proclaim God's word in order to prepare the way of the Lord for others. Which brings us to our third and final question. Who exactly are we to prepare the way of the Lord for? The answer to that is very simple. It's for everyone. It's for everyone because Jesus died for everyone. This is an objective, universal truth of Scripture, that Jesus died for the sins of all people. And therefore, God wants all people to be saved. But understand, just because Jesus died for the sins of all people doesn't mean that everyone will be saved and go to heaven. Everyone needs to be brought to faith in order to receive Christ's blessings that he has won for them and make them personally their own. And that's why God says that he wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wanted for you. But who are you to have Jesus die for your sins? Who are you that God should have used someone to prepare the way of the Lord for you to bring you to faith? None of us deserve to have Jesus die for us. None of us deserve to be brought to faith. But purely by his grace, God did. You are saved. You have received the blessings of salvation through faith. And if you have this, how much more does God want others to have it as well? This is why he uses us. This is why he tells us to share the word to prepare the way of the Lord for others so that they can be brought to faith. It's exactly what Jesus told us all to do when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you." Just as everyone who came to John the Baptist and he preached repentance and baptism to save them, therefore everyone who comes to us, we preach repentance and baptism to save them. Because it's for everyone whom we prepare the way of the Lord. And so, dear beloved and fellow redeemed of God, let us be like John the Baptist and prepare the way of the Lord. That although God doesn't need us, by his grace he calls us and blesses what we do. We prepare the way of the Lord by proclaiming God's word to others so that they can be brought to faith and clearly see Jesus as their Savior. And this message is for everyone because God wants all people to be saved. May God continue to bless you and to help you as you prepare the way of the Lord for others. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.